Calling all benders and non-benders alike. Jump into the epic world of Avatar with your favorite podcast, Avatar Braving the Elements. Hosted by me, Janet Varney.
And me, Dante Bosco. Each week we'll recap and discuss a new episode.
So come join us and our amazing guests, from creators to cast to superfans, to chat about all things Avatarverse.
It's Fire Nation time. Book of Fire. Let's go. Listen to Avatar Braving the Elements
wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Call Him Spidey, a podcast about Agent Spider. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
And just kidding, this is actually Podvincible, podcast about Invincible. We're going to be talking about the season 2 finale of Invincible titled I Thought You Were Stronger. If you haven't watched it on Prime Video, go watch it. We're going to spoil it. We're going to talk about speculation for season 3 as well, I assume, towards the end here. But
yes,
brief bit of recap after the cliffhanger of the last episode. Angstrom Levy has Debbie Grayson and Oliver held hostage. He wants to destroy Oliver. Mark Grayson for all the different multiversal personalities that are stuck in his head that he can't deal with. And ultimately, he sends Mark through a bunch of different portals. He encounters different multiverse characters, like not Spider-Man, not Batman, not Masters of the Universe.
It's just kind
of
lazy.
Dead, etc.
Dress like a bat.
Good stuff. And then by the end, Debbie gets her arm broken, Oliver gets threatened, and Invincible fights Angstrom Levy through a bunch of portals and dimensions. And
portal fighting!
Pulverizes him to a bloody pulp.
Yeah.
Killing him. He gets sent back home by a futuristic version of the Guardians of the Globe, where Adam Eve tells him, hey, I love you and I've always loved you. Go talk to your Eve. He tries to, but he can't.
And
that's where
try.
We leave off with Mark. Meanwhile, up in space, Omni-Man and Alan the Alien are bonding, leading to the big ending revelation that Omni-Man still loves his wife. Which wife? He has two of them. We'll tune in next season to find out.
It's Debbie. You don't think he misses his bug wife?
Yeah, what about his bug wife?
He
just had a kid with his bug wife. You know what I mean? Like he... Mm-hmm.
He had a kid with his human wife as well.
It's true. So we don't know which wife he's missing.
Which kind of wife guy are you? Human wife or bug wife?
It would have been helpful if he said, I miss my human wife or I miss my bug wife. Then
that's
been
right. Tell you what, it's animation. You can't, the lips are sort of like, meh, meh, meh. Anyway, they can just have J.K. Simmons come in, retape the line, say it quick, and be like, I miss my human wife. And then that'll be clear.
Yeah, just for clarity's sake.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, we are here at the end of the season. We're going to talk about all the parts of the episode, but what'd you think of season 2 versus or in addition to season 1? Justin, you're nodding your head in agreement.
I think this show is excellent. It's and here's why. This show is so good. It's so emotional.
Tell us why.
There's so much going on, but it all feels in balance. They're able to serve all the characters in a good way and create a larger story. The show is so good. Why? Because they do the comic. They bring the comic to life in the show. And why is it good because of that? Because the comic is good. All comics are good. If you learn to tell a story in the comic book form, what are you good at? Editing. You're good at keeping the story tight and fun and always moving. Nothing ever feels boring, and that's why this show is good.
I have a follow-up question to that. Do you feel like maybe this episode, because it was trying to wrap up a lot before the end of the season, it was maybe going a little too fast, too first?
All you talk about is how stuff's too fast. I think you need to drink more coffee.
Maybe I'm just getting too old. You know what I mean? Everything seems too fast.
I know
kids.
Your favorite show right now is sitting on your lawn and watching in a chair watching the cars go by, right?
Don't play with my emotions. I'm almost there. These cars whizzing by my house. It's unbelievable.
They're driving like crazy. All these kids. You wouldn't believe the bumper stickers they got.
I could agree with you on some other episodes of Invincible where they're throwing in a wild amount of things all at the same time. Disagree on this episode. There's a couple of little side trips that we get here.
Mostly for comedy.
What? Yeah, mostly for
Mostly for
comedy.
comedy.
We get the scene with the mummy, who I'm blanking on the name of right now, and the two adventurers played by Chloe Bennett and Ella Purnell. Presumably, there'll be
She
more of
says
that at some
dad.
point. What?
She says dad when she's talking about the dead guy.
The dead,
Oh,
the corpse.
yeah. That's following up on we saw the mummy for the first time in
Yep.
episode four. So this is calling back to that. Maybe a comedy bit, maybe not. That's actually not in the comic. But for the most part, the first half of the episode is all Mark versus Angstrom Levy. And whatever's left of the episode is just emotionally picking up from that. First
Yeah.
with him and Debbie, and then with him and Adam Eve. And then we also get this through line of Omni-Man and Alan, and that's pretty much it. Like, they touch on the other characters, but this is not too fast, too furious, as you might say. It's too careful, too tense.
Well, just
Ooh, too
to
emotional.
counterpoint that a little bit is that there were just fast moments that were kind of happening that I would have liked just some more time or at least some ramifications of, right? Because we had this thing where Eve, even though Rex was like, yo, you can't fuck with the time stream, she still was like, hey, tell her something. I love you. I've loved you for 20 years. And then we get them not talking. You know what I mean? So I felt a little bit robbed in that time. And,
I think they're going to follow up on that.
there was also a lot of opportunities for Oliver to maybe kind of step up and do something, but he's still just kind of like a baby.
You're pissed that the baby didn't
No,
step
I'm just
up.
saying things were happening very fast and there was
They
stuff
didn't,
going.
honestly, they didn't spend enough time horrifically breaking Debbie's arm. I feel like that could have
Yeah.
been a whole
Or
10 to 15
squeezing
minute
off cops' heads. I mean, there was
thing, right?
just, it was one thing after another, and there was a lot going on. So,
Cop
we
poppers,
even
they
got,
call it.
we even
Yeah.
got like PB and J's talking about dating and stuff with Monster Girls. So there was just, I'm
Oh yeah,
just.
we did have the PB and J's, that's true. But we didn't spend too much time on that. Like, it was checking in with the characters. There was that thing. We got kind of a resolution, I think, to the Monster Girl Rex thing, or at least moving forward on that note. We also
It's
got
horrible. That's not going
the
well at all.
reveal that I think we all saw coming, that Duplicate had yet another dupe hiding out, and now
Sweet
she's
scene.
together with Immortal. That is very sweet. May December romance is all the rage in adult animated cartoons these days, with this and X-Men 97.
I mean, I
Yeah.
wanted more T-Rex world. You know what I mean? Like that seemed like a lot of fun
You
and
like the monocle tipping
Oh yeah,
dinos?
come on. Come on.
That was pretty
Egads, they can
insane.
egads, it talks. I mean, that's just fun. Let's not rush out of that world. You know what I
It's
mean?
interesting to me, Pete. I feel like you're saying a lot of things were happening, but it was all sort of action things. I think the emotional arcs were very clear and not super shifting. It's just stuff was going on that was in support of those, and you feel like that was too much.
Well, I just would have likened like we got Mark on the roof being moody a lot. I could have used less of that and more kind of like other kind of components happening. You know what I
It's
mean?
interesting. You're saying it was going too fast, but I think what you're really saying is you wanted other stuff to be happening. You want resolution on some of this stuff. And
Some of the stuff
instead.
because we're at the end of the season and I want to kind of, I just.
Well, but I think there was resolution. We talked about this a little bit last week, but there was resolution. And I think, Justin, you actually said this when we were talking about like predictions for the next episode, but
Yeah, Justin, you said this.
the
I said it.
arc of this season at the beginning, the question was Mark being like, am I going to turn out like my dad? And everybody being like, you're not going to turn out like your dad. And at the end of the season, he kills Angstrom Levy,
He
asterisk.
is, yeah.
Yeah.
Beats him to
And
a bloody pulp is what he
beats him
does.
to a bloody pulp, thinks he has killed him, and is like, I have turned into my dad. I crossed a
Yeah, and is
line. I
about
killed
to
a
take
man.
on his dad's quest. You know what I mean?
Right, exactly. So he is like, there's more seasons to come. There is so much more Invincible to come. So they're not going to be like at the end of the season, and I figured it all out the end, because that's not where he is. But I think it really, in a very upsetting but dramatically satisfying way, brought that arc to a close, or at least moved it into the next phase. And
I'm just
something
saying.
I would also just throw it out there just very quickly with Nolan as well, where he's been a lot less of the season, but he's very much the parallel emotional arc. And same sort of thing. We've watched him go from being like, I have these emotions, I'm running away from these emotions, to dealing with them in a shocking way as the final line of the season.
I'm
But
just
I
saying,
would.
you see Eve, it's 20 years later, she's got a different haircut, and nobody says anything about how that hair happened. Like, what
Yeah.
choice
We
did she
need
make? Like, what
the
happened in her life where she thought that butt cut would be good in the future? You know what I mean? Like,
Yeah.
what are we
Maybe
doing?
style has changed, Pete. Have you thought about that?
Yeah,
I wouldn't
maybe.
quite call that a butt cut, also, by the
Yeah,
way.
there's a
More
totally
like a
fine
Rachel.
haircut.
It's
I
a
mean, if you want to
Rachel.
talk about butts, I mentioned this last week as well, but everybody with the butt bruises on their eyes, also the
Well,
same eye.
I definitely highlighted the highly emotional conversation Mark and Debbie are having on the roof, and they have giant purple raisins on their faces.
Yeah.
I was like, this is wild. But to answer your, to respond to what you're saying, I think I agree with you. The whole thing has been like, is he his dad? And I think we get at the same time, we get Nolan becoming Mark, like becoming more emotional and becoming like more the hero. But for Mark, it's like he becomes, it's what we all go through. Like we become our parents in a way. And in this episode, I think he's worried about becoming the evil monster. But instead, he becomes someone who is grown up enough to be like, look, I shouldn't be in college. I have too much going on. I can't do this. It doesn't make sense to do it. It's sort of like shedding these like childhood things that he feels like he felt like he needed to do and be like, I'm actually an adult now. I know what I have to do. I've been through the crucible and I will emerge a better person. At the same time, like I said, Nolan is coming back to being like maybe the actual father and hero that he needs to be. It's an exciting place to set up for the next season and just a great end of those arcs.
It's an exciting time when you're young and trying to decide if you want to go to college or maybe take a year off and do some traveling, you know? And he's
He's a
clearly like,
superhero.
I'm just going to travel and fight crime, and I don't want to go to school. And, you know, no, I just think that it was an awesome episode. I just afterwards just had a little bit of like, oh man, if I had a couple more questions answered, I'd be feeling a lot better. So I think that's what I mean by the.
I will say I still really like the show. I
It's
this
great. I'm having a
season
great time.
having a great time. This season was not quite as strong as the first season, but also I think we knew that, or at least I knew that going in, because
Are you
the
psychic?
strongest part of the comic book is the first 12 to 13 issues leading
Here
up
we
to the
go.
Omni-Man
Not
reveal.
true.
No, it is like, and there's
The
awesome
strongest part of the
stuff.
comic book is the Adam Eve's relationship.
Okay.
Wow.
There's great
Pete,
stuff
your
throughout.
opinion is clear. There's no
Yes,
doubt
we
there. Especially for a
understand.
man who the last every episode you're like, Amber and Mark, they're the best. And now look at you,
I
jump on
can't
the Eve
believe
bandwagon.
he just like floated there. Amber was right down there and he just turned and flew away.
That
She
was
knew he
some
was there.
great body acting by the actor in that scene, right, Pete?
Really great. How are you going from being a Mamberhead to suddenly being Adam Meave out of nowhere?
I'm not.
That's
I'm
bullshit.
fighting it. I'm upset at Mark. I'm upset at Mark for a lot of reasons.
So you want him to
Mainly,
date both of those women?
no, I want him, you
A
know, like
throuple?
you
You want a
survived.
throuple?
No, he survived this giant thing. You know, him and Amber had a tough conversation, but they got to a good place. At least fly down and be like, hey, I'm okay. I know last time I saw you, I had to fucking fly away because shit was crazy. But I just wanted to check in, say, hey, I'm okay. I'm back,
But
whatever.
let's remember that was literally like 12 hours ago for her because of the way the time
It
works. Like,
still was like, oh shit, my mom's in trouble. And he flew the fuck out of there. You know what I mean?
yeah,
So,
but
like.
Adam Eve only knew he went through something because she was told. Like, to show up at Amber and be like, hey, I had a crazy night, she'd be like, hey man, I just broke up with you. Like, get out of here.
Dude, you don't have to do that. You could just wait until she turns around and says, hi, I'm all right. You know, maybe we'll catch up later or whatever.
Or you could
Just give
like
her a
fly
heads up.
straight into her, like cause a crater of the ground to just like pulverize her too, and then just start pulverizing everybody, you know?
Yeah.
Wow.
Alex would definitely be an evil Mark, just so we're clear.
Yeah. There's no
I love
question.
the idea, Pete, that you're like, here, if you want to really talk to someone important in your life, go to where they are and stand behind them, and if they turn around, then say something.
Yeah,
That's
exactly.
your
Just
strategy.
float right above where they are, wait for them to turn around. You know what I mean?
Nice. Wait for them to turn around. The Pete LePage story.
Geez, the portal stuff was a lot of fun, but also just like really brutal. I mean, I don't know where you want to get into first, but Evil Brain Guy was a
First, we've been
lot.
talking for 15 minutes.
Yeah, but we
Let's
haven't
finally
broken
get this thing
down
started.
anything of the episode. You
We've
know what
been
I mean? So
talking.
Like,
You just had like a 5 minute conversation
we're
about
talking.
Mark and Amber. That is breaking. How? What? What are you talking about?
I just think that Evil Brain Guy was, you know, he had some
His
interesting
name is
points.
Sterling K. Brains, I believe.
Sterling K. Brown is an unbelievable actor. I respect and love his work. I just think that it was tough because, like, if they just would have had a conversation, because it seemed like they were going to start talking, but then it got into a fight because of the flashbacks of the past of having Evil Mark. And so, like, he tried to be like, yo, man, I'm not that guy. I tried to save you. And that kind of spun him off. So I was hoping he would be able to kind of talk him back down to be like, hey, you remember like this happened? Oh yeah, you're right. You pulled away at the last minute to try to save the day and like that kind of stuff. So the fact that he ended up with just a bloody, you know, shell of himself at the end was tough. And you could tell, by the way, Mark was mumbling to himself as he was walking away covered in somebody else's blood.
Yeah. I like you said, think or talk, doesn't matter, I'm alone. I was like, wow, hold on to that philosophy.
There were so many great things there. Oh, yeah, take it away, Justin.
I was just going to say, to your point, Pete, about like, yeah, he had some good points. Like, well, that's what's great about this show and these storylines is like, they do just do a good job of making Angstrom sort of right. Almost every universe that he's existed in, Mark has been one of the ultimate supervillains. And we got almost too many examples of that. I think that this episode proved Angstrom's point so hard and then totally upended it when he broke Debbie's arm brutally in front of everyone and is going to kill Oliver. And I think that's what the show is sort of ping-ponging us. We're like, oh, that is sort of fucked up that Mark would have done that. And you see his point of view. It keeps us jumping in a great way so that we actually feel like Mark, where it's like, yes, punch him. He's awful. And then you're like, ah, maybe you didn't need to kill him. You could have just stopped punching a little earlier.
Yeah, that would have been nice. But I mean, what I want to ask you guys is like, if you have, you know, a bunch of your enemies in front of you, would you kind of line them up and then walk down that line, karate chopping their heads off? Or would you try to like kind of punch fly through all of them since they're already kind of lined up like that? You know what I mean?
Are you busy? You have somewhere to be.
Oh, so you're saying for if you have the time, walk and karate chop their heads off is what you're saying.
If you have the time, karate chop the line.
I have a similar question. If you had brains that ran down your neck brain, would you wear like a hoodie or would you show them loud?
Yes.
Proud?
Oh my God. Yeah.
Neck brain.
Get a
proud.
Hoodie, bro.
Because he has a full brain mullet.
Yeah.
It's like,
it's glorious.
All so up and down.
Gross.
But
it was gross
I
in the
think,
comic too, and it's gross here.
Even grosser here. I got to think though, what if somebody accidentally like, you get hit with like a tennis ball in the neck brain? That would hurt like hell, I bet. Because there's no skull, it's just brain.
How
skin.
Do you feel about the cross-pollination jokes where it's like they're making fun of Spider-Man and then Batman, where it's like, yo, stick to either Marvel or DC. You can't do both. You know what I mean?
Well, so let's talk about that really quickly for anybody who doesn't know who's listening to the podcast. Robert Kirkman, who co-created Invincible, also wrote for Marvel for a very long time, including Marvel Team-Up. Since Image Comics they publish the comics, but otherwise they're creator owned. He was able to convince Marvel and work out a thing where he's able to bring Invincible over for an issue of Marvel Team Up that actually came out before the issue with the fight that with Angstrom Levy happened in the Invincible comic book. So basically he just popped through a portal and they had a whole issue where he interacted with Spider-Man, he interacted with the Avengers and everything. Very, very fun. This is just the first bit of that. Of course, we talked about it here on this podcast. They can't get Spider-Man. They can't figure out the
No.
rights. That is going to be too difficult to do that. So they did get Josh Keaton, who did the voice of a Spectacular Spider-Man on the cartoon, to do it. It is pretty much beat for beat what happens in the Marvel team-up issue. So it's kind of the next best thing. And I thought it was very fun. It was a very
It's
fun
fun.
way of getting to do this thing, even though you can't do this thing. You could do the Batman joke as well, I guess, is the long way around to that.
I think it's fine. I like though they were like, "Eh, we can play a little fast and loose with Spidey and Prof Ock, but Batman, oh, we're just going to show the edge of the cape and
Edge of the
barely
cape.
talk about it. They're like, they'll sue the
Just.
shit out of us. Let's not touch it."
A couple of things that I wanted to mention about this whole part of the episode. First of all, so tense. Like the
Yeah.
particularly any scene in the living room,
Oh my God.
the
Just
lack of
looking at
music
that
and
living room.
sound just sitting there so good. Pete, I know you've said this before, but I did want to back up that I think Sterling K. Brown is the perfect voice for this because he's not aggressively evil. He is a calming voice of a man who you want to engage and talk to. But the things that he's doing are so horrible. And like you said, Justin, justifiable as well. Like it all makes sense. The one moment I wanted to call out that I think is the most horrifying thing in the episode is when Mark has him down in the desert and is punching him. Engstrom tries to tap out.
Yeah, his hand comes up and
Yeah,
he's
he's
trying to
like
touch his face.
tapping out, and Mark keeps shoving his hand away and keeps punching him. Like he's not trying to grab him. He's doing like, please stop, please, you're killing me.
Well, and I don't know if
And
this is intentional, but
oh
I
God.
clocked that and was like horrified. And then there's a similar sort of break in when he's talking to Eve and her hair blows across her face and she sort of slides it out. And for some reason, those moments rhyme to me where it was like, hey, Mark, listen, stop punching him. Hey, Mark, listen, tell her you love her. And it didn't, he didn't
Interesting.
register either of them. I
Neither
don't know if
one.
that was
Yeah,
a
you need
visual
a
cue
new
or
hand
I'm
signal.
crazy.
Yeah, there's some kind of but I mean, it's intentional, so it's good that you picked up on it. Yeah, and I
Someone drew
do
it.
agree that or kind of use this similar thing to draw a different thing. But I just think that like Sterling K. Brown is fantastic, and he kind of reminds me a little bit of the character you played in the Brooklyn Nine-Nine, where he's very calm, but then if you get him worked up, that's when he kind of makes a mistake and kind of reveals too much. But man,
Connect.
I was like, how long is he going to be? Because like, if you murder the portal guy, you're now stuck in that world. Do you know what I mean? So I was like, oh man, this is. But then when they showed up, I was like, oh, that makes sense. They would try to track him and, probably would take 20 years to find somebody in a random world. You know what I mean?
Well, I love the aftermath because, like, Mark does the worst thing he's ever done in his life in his mind and then has to literally wallow in it by himself, which I thought was great heightening. And then the rescue was great. A lot of clues. Looking forward to the speculation portion here. But I love the line, you did survive, but you wouldn't like what you had become, sort of implying he does become like a evil Mark, which I thought was
Which
cool.
we saw in this episode a couple times.
A lot of that. And then Eve going to him, I just thought was so, you could tell she knew she wasn't supposed to, but did. And it was just really great, I
I'm
thought.
glad we got a Rexplode line in there, even if he was just kind of like,
Rex in the robot suit. I think that was Rex, not Rudy, is what they say. So interesting. Interesting. What else in the episode before we start to talk about potentially what might come out of season three? Any other moments here?
I want the Alan and Nolan relationship to go really well because if you're hanging out with Seth Rogen, dude, you're probably blazing one in the prison and just kind of like chilling out and talking a lot about life and stuff. So I'm hoping that when we see Nolan again, he's kind of more in the know about everything Mark has been doing and helping raise his bug child so that they're in a better place because, this is going to be hard enough what Mark's going to have to deal with coming up that we need Nolan and Alan on his side from the get if we got a shot at this.
What do you think Viltrumite weed is like? Pretty shitty.
Yeah,
Like,
no,
not
no
good.
good.
It's probably pretty strong, I would think.
Strong? I don't know. I feel like they're not a real weed culture.
Yeah, they don't chill out, I don't think.
Yeah,
Is
that's
there
true.
weed that makes you angrier? Is that a thing?
Yeah,
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 some weed, angry
yeah.
weed, right?
Sativa, sativa
Yeah,
gives an
sativa.
upper.
Yep.
I think, yeah. I also the eve of it all was just too brutal for me. Where it was, they were together, but they weren't talking, and they both wanted to. So that was, it was just, it was a lot.
It's so funny to me. You're like calling that brief delay in their inevitable relationship brutal in an episode that had more blood than any show on fucking television in it. The most violent
You think
hour of
this was the
television I've watched.
bloodiest episode? I feel like.
Mark gets covered head to toe in blood, and it's just dripping. It is everywhere. There's a splatter.
There's a montage of Mark, the hero of the show, Mark, just killing randos in like nine dimensions.
Yeah, that's
And you're
true.
like, you know what was brutal? He didn't quite fall in love with a woman who
Well, he
told him.
didn't talk about his feelings or reveal, what future Eve had said.
But there's so many things tied up in that. He is worried now that he is becoming his father. That is the thing that happens when he's sitting with Debbie on the roof and talking to
His
her.
father's out there living his best life, dude.
His father
He's got a
betrayed
bug
his
baby, a
mother.
regular
His
baby. He's got.
father betrayed his mother. If he is worried that he is on the path to becoming his father, why would he want to be with anybody? That's at least one of the things that's holding him back from moving forward with any relationship, because he's like, I'm going to become my father and I'm going to hurt this person.
Yeah, I want some of that said out loud so it's not just Mopatron
You
on a
always,
roof.
just real quick, you always say out loud your feelings and what you're
Well, when
feeling.
I'm
Careful,
covered in
Alex. Careful,
blood on
Alex.
a
I think he
fucking
does.
remote planet, yes. Yes, I
You're
do.
asking Pete if he always says his feelings? I have a lot of evidence to say that he does. I have a
Say
pretty clear. No wonder
years of
he's
it.
lost. It's like brutal. That guy didn't say what he was thinking immediately. Very fun.
Anything else?
I just to the duplicate immortal scene I thought was really great, a romance that I think is going really well. And the well, are we gonna talk a little speculatron
Yeah,
here?
yeah,
Oh,
yeah.
one other thing. I do love it, Viltrumite culture, where like you have to be at full strength before they just straight up murder you. That's a
Yes.
fun culture idea.
Well, we've seen that before and stuff where they heal somebody before they kind of put them on trial or whatever. So I feel like that wasn't.
What are you talking about?
Oh God, I just feel like I've seen so many like sci-fi fantasy stuff
Like the
where they're
people
like.
versus Larry Flint?
Yeah, they got him much better.
They polished him right up.
I don't remember that. Yeah, I feel like we've seen that before. Like we'll let
Miracle on
you heal.
34th Street, you're talking about? Where they
Yeah,
let Santa really
talking about the
get to
park
his
rangers,
books?
bro. The park rangers. I feel like I've
Mr.
seen it
Smith
before.
goes to
They're like,
Washington.
where
Yeah.
they will heal, let somebody heal
Oh, I'm
before.
getting jacked before
Yeah, all right.
you kill me.
A few good men, I will say Jack Nicholson was at peak
Yes,
performance before
very
they
much
took him
so.
down.
You can handle me at peak.
Yeah. Let's talk season
I want to talk
three.
about him flying the
I knew it.
Superman
I knew
flight
it. This is why I've not been
with the
saying, let's talk
rainbow
about season
colors.
three, because the second I say that, Pete's like, I have five more things I want to talk
This
about.
is the last thing
No, it's
where he
not.
did the Superman flying, and I was like, dude, are you flying so fast you're going to turn the Earth backwards and go
I thought he
back
was
in
going to go
time?
back in time.
Yeah.
That's
He did
cute.
it.
Look
Or
at you
break
two.
the sound barrier or something because he was
Those
going.
are two very different things.
And then he just stopped and was just kind of floating
Is he
like
going to be
he
like an
did.
airplane or a magic being? And your thought
Yeah.
was like probably like an airplane.
Would you say
That's
a
less.
magic bean?
He's a magic bean.
Yeah.
Is he an
Airplanes
airplane or
break
a
the sound
magic bean?
barrier. Magic beans go back in time. What are you talking about?
Yeah,
I will say
Everybody knows this.
I traded my prize cow to get Invincible Greenland at Amazon. So in that way, it is sort of my magic bean.
We're going to talk about season three here. I will say potential spoilers because we've read the comic book, because there's a lot of stuff we don't just have to speculate about. We do know or think we know is coming.
We think we know, but I will say everything
taking off
I want
his
to see.
Headphones, like you didn't read 144 issues of this.
And also, yeah, you know it's going to happen. It's just, are you hiding the spoiler from your brain, from coming out of your mouth? Everything where I'm going to say anyway is rooted in things that happened in this season, in this episode.
Right, okay, well, why don't you go then?
Don't tease us.
So a couple things. I think the main thing is when we get the old guardians that come and rescue Mark.
Right.
I think there's a lot of clues here. Like
they're just 20 years older.
They're 20 years older, but like they're like bad stuff happened and we need you around.
You can see it on their face, bad stuff is happening.
Yes. And what that bad thing is, the main clues are Monster Girl is still there. So I think
that's huge.
Robot cures her. It's safe to say in that timeline. So that's, you know, a win for him. And then Robot is not Robot, it's Rexplode. So he's not actually there. So that, to me, makes me think that the bad stuff that happened isn't the Nolan Viltrumite stuff. It's actually Robot is the villain we're going to get in the next season.
It's funny that you're like, dude, I'm not going to spoil something. And then you
that was
one of
bullshit.
The biggest plot lines.
That was fucking bullshit, dude.
That's not, I didn't say it was
we all
spoil.
Read
I
the
said
comic,
every,
man.
Everything is rooted in clues that are in this very episode.
Sure.
They showed robots,
right,
and
there.
You're like, well, Robot's evil. We all know that
no,
now.
No, they did. Robot's not there. They said we have big problems. In
he could be
world.
Going out for ice cream. And
yeah,
the problem
could
is
be
which ice cream
problems.
To choose. That's all.
Their problems are that Mark's evil and a fucking douchebag in the future is what their problem is.
Also, I wasn't sure if that was actually the future, because I think that was a alternate dimension that was just forward in time. So it doesn't mean that any of that stuff is necessarily going to come to pass. It's just one possible.
I think isn't Mark the only good Invincible, and they come from the universe where they know he was lost. I think it is a time travel.
Okay.
Because they also, when they find him, they're like, we have four time travel devices. And so they're coming to
bring
that.
Yeah. Just kind of talk about that randomly.
All right.
And they did when they showed up, they're like, oh man, it sucks that Cecil's evil now.
So I actually want to talk about something that we don't have any answers from the comics, because it doesn't exist in the comics. What is going on with the mummy? What is going to happen with that? What do you think?
And what's going to happen with the beetle tattoo girl?
Mm-hmm.
That's,
You think she'll get another tat?
That feels like jokes to me.
Just jokes?
I think so. It's like the runner in the comic of Mark throwing the trash.
Mm-hmm. Just real quick, so you think they animated this whole thing about going to King Tut's tomb and Beetle Girl getting kind of trapped with the door just to be like, jokes?
I don't know. I could see some sort of like one episode thing, whatever this mummy thing breaks out into the larger world. There's always things in Invincible where it's just like, here's a huge threat that we take care of in 10 to 15 minutes, or I could see, I mean, you don't bring in Ella Purnell and Chloe Bennett just to be like, we're here for one scene. You bring them in to become superheroes that have mummy powers or something like that. I don't know. It could spin off into something potentially. It's fun because it's new. So I don't know.
It could also be like you're saying, like just a continuing scene that doesn't become a main plot, but is like a fun element. Sort of like a
Shapesmith style thing is sort of what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
We also have that dangling, by the way. There's still a Sequid out there, so that's going to come back somehow.
Surprised we didn't get a ref to that in this episode.
I missed a little bit. It was a nice end. I thought it was a good last line, but I missed a little bit those wild teases they had in the season one finale where they're like, who knows what's going to come? And then just showed us a couple of previews of absolutely insane things happening.
So,
I wanted that a little bit.
So you didn't appreciate the I miss my wife ending line?
No. I liked it, but I want more of those teases. That would have been a nice way, you know, like a runner for every last episode of a season. They're like, what's going to happen next? These crazy things, particularly because I don't remember where he gave the interview, but Robert Kirkman gave an interview where he was like, every episode in season three is like a season finale, is what he said.
Oh, wow.
Well, because I do think we're going to get Because I actually think they have teased it. It's just we've been sitting with it for a while. The reveal that Nolan loves Debbie and that he's going to essentially be a hero again and isn't the great
I
villain
thought
of
you were
the
going to say
show.
second wedding.
Yeah, and everybody loves the second wedding. It's
Yeah,
like
I
the
don't think
first one,
she's
except
going to
no
take him
one's
back.
happy.
The things, I will get into spoilers from the comics. The things that I potentially could see happen next season, and I think we might even get both of these if it really is as crazy as they're saying. One, I believe continuity rise were right before the Viltrumite War, which is when they actually fight the Viltrumites for real. We get the reveal of the big bad of the entire series, General Thrag, I want to say is his name, the leader of the Viltrumites. So I think we are going to get that for sure next season. The thing that I think we might get as well, which would amp up the insanity, is, and this is a big spoiler for anybody who doesn't want to know, Angstrom Levy is not dead. In fact, he is picked up by a weird alien otherworldly race that reconstructs him, and he gathers together a team of evil marks from other dimensions to attack Mark's dimension and destroy it. It leads to something called the Invincible War. The way they did it in the comics, they brought in tons of Image Comics characters from across all sorts of comics to do like quick cameos. Main characters from Invincible die, other people die. It was a very contained event, but it is even bigger, if you can believe it, than the Viltrumite War.
I
So
don't believe it.
I don't know. I think we're heading there, and I think it is
That feels
way.
like season four to me.
Really, you think?
Yeah.
I don't
I
know.
think season three is Viltrumite War, robot, Adam Eve relationship.
Ooh, wow.
I think robot, if anything, is going to be later on, but we'll see.
Hey, Justin, let me ask you, when you go running, do you say to yourself, "Man, I feel invincible"?
I do, and I am.
Oh, wow. Okay, so that was real true to life. That was you in that opening credit
A lot of times a car will
title
try
card.
to hit me and I'll just like push it off.
Most importantly,
Wow.
do you think we're going to get the blue and black costume next season?
Oh, that's season four, bro. Come on.
Season four. Everything's going to happen. Kirk was like, every episode is like a season finale, and it's always a wedding, every single episode. And then season four is when everything goes down. We'll see. We'll see when it comes back. We still don't know. My suspicions, as they said, the gap is going to be much shorter. I'm going to throw out there, I think November. Like, I think it's going to come out this year, and they're going to get on a every fall schedule, would be my guess, but
So
we'll see.
for Movember, they're gonna have new episodes. All right.
Yes.
Get excited, man.
The mustaches. That and I like this sort of split season where we get four and four. I don't know if they like that. It felt like it wasn't something they
They
planned,
didn't
but
like it, and most of the fans didn't like it, so I don't think they're going to do it again. But
I just like the structure. I like four that is contained and then another four that finishes
it
it.
worked for me. The split made sense, I thought, but I don't think it actually worked for Prime Video or the creators or most of the fans. So I don't know.
I hope Donald's okay.
Me too. And if you're okay, you can support us
Donald
at
Duck.
patreon.com/comicbookclub. Also, we do a live show every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. to Facebook and YouTube. Come hang out. We would love to chat with you about Invincible.
Sure would.
Apple, Spotify, Android, or the app of your choice to subscribe, listen, and follow the show at Comic Book Live on Twitter/X, Comic Book Club Live on TikTok and Instagram, comicbookclublive.com for this podcast and many more. For Call 'Em Spidey, Thwip Thwip, we're out.